The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Fear of communist subversive activities, appointed by Congress to investigate, Chairman Parnell Thomas opens the hearing.
Investigating alleged communist influence and infiltration in the moving picture industry must not be considered or interpreted as an attack on the industry itself.
The court is packed with fashionably dressed women as witness Robert Taylor takes the stand. In answer to a committee question on whether the Communist Party should be outlawed in America, Mr. Taylor replies,
I personally certainly do believe that the Communist Party should be outlawed. However, I'm not an expert on politics or of what the reaction would be. If I had my way about it, they'd all be sent back to Russia or some other unpleasant place.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again.
It is the Savage Nation. Don't worry. This is not a documentary show, whatever. All right, this is Fats Domino. Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here we go. My thanks, Fats. Give him some crawdaddies and we'll see him in a casino. Listen, here's the story. The reason I played that piece from HUAC in 1947 is because yesterday I personally announced on the Savage Nation that it's time to bring back HUAC, which is the House of Un-American Activities Committee. People today don't remember what the House of Un-American Activities was. HUAC was an investigative committee of the U.S. House of Reps that looked into subversion within the U.S. government. It actually investigated those accused of being communists within the government. The committee investigated those accused of being communists within the U.S. media, especially in Hollywood. And by the way, to a large extent, HUAC was successful in exposing communist infiltration. It even rooted out the communist operative and spy, Alger Hiss. HUAC revealed the extent of communist infiltration in the film industry. This committee served America, and it actually protected America from what was then the most serious threat to its national security, and that was the infiltration by communists into all branches of government and the media. The reason you have a distorted view of HUAC is because of Hollywood and the media itself. After the 1950s, a generation of far leftists, fellow travelers of the Communist Party and academia and the media, all claimed in unison that the efforts of HUAC and Joseph McCarthy in the Senate had been nothing more than a witch hunt. They claimed that it had destroyed people's lives who had nothing to do with communism. Remember all the movies about the innocent innocent actors and directors in Hollywood who were picked on by the evil right-wingers and they jumped out of windows? It was all rubbish. Most of them were absolute communists and spies trying to produce pro-Soviet movies. How do I know this? What is my evidence that HUAC was on the right track? Because in the 1990s, the Venona transcripts of intelligence intercepts from the former Soviet Union were published, and these Soviet intelligence intercepts published in the 90s proved that most of the people that HUAC had been investigating in the 50s had in fact been involved with communist groups, and many of these people had actively been spying on the U.S. for the Soviet Union. The old leftists in the U.S. media today and in academia still claim that HUAC was just a bunch of right-wing nuts, but the truth is exactly the opposite. Now, the threat today of Soviet communism is largely gone, but other threats are even more dangerous, and they exist. Take a look at what's going on in our own Defense Department, that in a time of two wars on two fronts, you've got two patsies at the top doing Obama's bidding, talking about don't ask, don't tell. Did you hear what I just said to you? The old far-left infrastructure still exists in the form of Obama, the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and other operatives, including the czars, that are today's enemy within, in my opinion. And what about the threat of radical Islam? What about the Fort Hood massacre that could have been stopped had we had a UAC overseeing the Defense Department? They knew the guy was a time bomb about to go off, but they didn't stop him because they were afraid of the verminous lawyers who would have sued any of them or thrown them out of their jobs. And that's why we're losing the war against radical Islam. That's why we are at greater risk today than we've ever been in the United States of America. And I say, and I argue today on the Savage Nation, we need UAC more than ever before. If we had had a committee to investigate the plots against the U.S. from within, we might have avoided the Fort Hood massacre. If we had had a group of brave men in Congress dedicated to rooting out the subversion of the United States, we might save thousands, even tens of thousands of lives. Now, when have you ever heard a CIA director getting up as he did yesterday, Leon Panetta, and saying, Al-Qaeda is going to attack America within the next 3 months? What the hell is that? You mean the man with a $1 trillion budget or unlimited budget with black ops, white ops, pink ops, your ops, my ops, is myopic? He doesn't know how to stop them? He's telling you to expect a major attack in America and he can't do anything? We told you he was incompetent. He had no intelligence background. How did he get the job? How did Obama become president? Where was Obama born? Obama could not have even passed the background check to become an FBI agent, let alone the president. And there he is sitting on top of the entire intelligence apparatus in the United States of America. And at the top of the intelligence apparatus, Leon Panetta, he has the nerve to get up yesterday and tell all of America and the world and the enemies themselves, Al-Qaeda, we can expect to be attacked by Al-Qaeda within the next few months. Do you have any idea what he just said? Do you have any concept of the danger we are in, that we have these incompetent cowards at every level of government? And that's why I say it's time to bring back UAC. As long as there are groups such as the ACLU to threaten everybody, to aid and abet the enemies, as long as there are friends of Al-Qaeda in the U.S. media, our very existence as a nation will be in danger. And I say again, it is time to bring back UAC. Take the fight to the enemy within and stop liberalism, the mental disorder, from destroying our country even further. I'm Michael Savage. I believe every word I just said. How about you? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. Let us begin in my hometown of Fransansicco. We're going to call it Fransansicco because it's run by Fran. Cher, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, this is Char.
Char, how are you? Go ahead, please.
Well, myself and all the Savage Fanatics chat room wanted to welcome you back to San Francisco. We're so happy to have you back.
Well, you see, you found me on the sports station. How you put up with the baseball for me?
I'm a sports fanatic as well. In fact,
the crossover audience. Even women like baseball.
Fanaticism.
All right, Char. Where do you have the Savage chat room?
It's on MichaelSavageFansUnite.com.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know you had a group. And where do you meet? I mean, you meet in the Bay Area?
Well, most of us became acquainted with each other when you were on that other station. And
yes.
when they dropped you from the schedule, Alicia from the chat room started the website and the chat room for us.
But so do you meet? You meet in different houses, Cher?
Oh, no, we're just online.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting. Let me send you a free copy of Banned in San Francisco by Michael Savage. That's a joke. It's banned in Britain. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Chicago, Illinois. We're going to work our way from the west to the midwest to the east. We're going now to the midwest, to Chicago. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're light years ahead of everybody bringing up UAC. Light years ahead of everybody. I swear, it's like a college professor. When you walk in the door, you better have your homework done. Don't raise your hand unless you know what you're talking about. But you are
let's stop right there. You know and I know that I'm always the tip of the arrow. That's why I've taken the heat for everybody in the conservative movement long before they ever took it. I took the fall for the conservative movement long before everybody else. I've been attacked by every left-wing fanatic group in the United States of America long before these people even existed in the media. I don't ask for anyone's thanks. All I ask is that my audience pay attention to what I say. If I just came out of the box and said, bring back UAC, and I didn't support it with the Venona papers, which came out in the 90s and proved that everything Senator McCarthy said was true, I wouldn't have done this show today. We're in graver danger today than our people were in the 1950s.
Well, absolutely, and we have a media that, I mean, when you said the media, boy, first thing that comes to my mind is, now all I've heard is 20 times today is the FBI says the Christmas bomber's talking. Are you kidding me? All the intelligence he's giving them now was dead 48 hours after they captured him. Do you think these people are stupid? They packed up shop and left. They Mirandized the guy, they lawyered him up, and now we're getting no information from him. And yet we have our commander-in-chief, has his minions in the military out there talking about don't ask, don't tell. When John McCain questioned him about what should have been done to the Christmas bomber, this guy couldn't even come up with an answer. Well, it's not my purview. Well, what is it?
Wait. Who couldn't come up with an answer? Which one, Gates or the other showman there? Mullen, which one of the two showmen?
Gates. He couldn't answer it.
Gates, by the way, should resign. He is an embarrassment as a defense secretary. Gates should have resigned after the Fort Hood bombing. You know what sickened me after the Fort Hood massacre, rather? When they had a hearing in Congress, and they asked him, was this an act of terror? And he said, I'm not even going to go there. Did you hear that?
Yes, that's essentially what he said to McCain yesterday at the Armed Services Committee.
No, Gates is incompetent as a defense secretary. He's nothing more than a party hack. He's somebody along the lines of somebody in the old communist government, where, you know what they call an apparatchik, somebody was put in there and works in there. By the way, he was appointed by Bush, but what does that tell us? It was under Gates that the Marines were first persecuted. So what does that tell you about Gates?
He does a great job of putting SEALs in jail. He does a great job of putting Rangers in jail. He does a great job of giving rights to terrorists that we don't extend to our own military. It's a clown. And now I'm going to say, we're going to get attacked. It's like, wake up, America. You've been saying
Did you hear that, Michael? Did you read what Panetta said? We are going to be attacked in the next few months? I really had to read it five times. I couldn't believe I was reading it.
Well, at first, like I said, I thought to myself, well, that's what Michael Savage has been telling us for the last 9 months, is we're in grave, grave danger. And now this guy comes out and says, hey, we're going to get attacked. We can't.
But it's the head of the CIA says we're going to be attacked in America and expect to be killed.
Absolutely. And you know, they were talking.
You know what they're saying? They're going to use clean operatives. People not from known terrorist cells. Well, there's an answer for that, too. There's an answer for that, too. During World War II, the FBI knew how to stop people on the street who look suspicious. How hard is it to figure out where they're coming from and where they hang out and where they pray, if I may say so? They're not Irish nuns. They're not rabbis. They're not Buddhist monks. We know where the hell they hang out. What the hell do you mean you can't stop it? You useless sack of garbage is what I'd like to say. I'll be right back. I gotta stop.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said.
Mama said.
Now, if you just tuned in the Savage Nation, you missed the greatest, I don't know, I think it was the best part of the show. I really am very worried because Panetta, the head of the CIA, came out yesterday and said, we're going to be attacked by Al-Qaeda. I guarantee it. I said, wait a minute, I'm not reading this correctly. Then I read that Big Sis, along with him, all the other geniuses who run all of our intelligence agencies, are telling us expect an attack and go to dinner that night. They did their job. They told you. In other words, they're like corporate executives. It's not an important mission for them. It's a job. You know what I'm saying? Wait until the pension comes in, and that's the end of it. What are you telling me we're going to be attacked for? Why don't you tell me how you're going to stop the attack? Why are you signaling to the enemy that you lost the battle before it began? Would you ever believe you're living in a country where the head of the CIA would go public and say, oh, expect to be attacked by our worst enemies within the next 4 months. Why would Panetta say that? Why? Tell me why he would say that. Tell me, I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a communist. I really don't care if you're a socialist. You know and I know if they set off an anthrax attack, a dirty bomb, whatever, you're going to get killed too. And so will your children.
How could you sit there and not be frightened of the incompetent morons that are in every position of power in this country under the college teacher, Barack Obama? Tell me, how in the world can you not understand what the hell I'm saying to you? Bill in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. We've gone east, from west to the Midwest to east. Welcome to the show, Bill. What's on your mind?
Michael, you're right on it, bro. He is the ultimate Manchurian candidate. We got a bunch of idiots in power, man. We're going to lose everything. This was the greatest country on earth that's ever seen on this earth, and it's going down the tube so fast, bro. I was in the woods of Maine, bro. I talked to you a few years ago. I'm down in Florida. I've just tuned in for a long time. I missed you, bro, but you're the smartest man in America, bro. You've got it going on, man. What is going on with our country?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Bill. I'm 67 years old. I'm not hiding my age. I'm not trying to be young. I'm not looking for the youth market. You know what I mean? I could give I don't care about people who watch South Park. By the way, I like it, incidentally. I'm not aiming for that demographic, 12 and up. You know, I don't need the nymphos and the porno watchers from South Park. I am aiming this at the American people who elected Scott Brown, who understand that Obama's incompetent or worse. And I'm saying to you, we are in mortal danger. And I'm saying bring back UAC and investigate the government and the media and Hollywood as well.
I agree with you 1,000%, brother. We got to do something.
Where is it written that we the people don't have the right to investigate the government for traitors, the media for traitors, and find them and root them out and get them out before we're all dead? Where is it written that we have no power to do that? I would say the Tea Parties are just the beginning. I would say that this entire town hall meeting, stir up, the anti-ACORN activity, these are all rumblings of the war that's coming. We cannot afford to sit on the sidelines and let these morons let us get killed. We can't! I think we should have a people's UAC. Who the hell needs Congress? They're a worthless bunch of lobbyists anyway. Why don't we have a people's UAC? Why don't we hold public hearings ourselves? Take it and run with it. Take it for free. If you're listening to me and you're one of the Tea Party people, go and create a public UAC. I'll run it on the show. I'll run it live like their national hearings. You put it together. You investigate every agency and you call them out. I know some people who can help you. I'll name them.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
We're talking about a topic that you never hear because the left has so seized the media and so seized the halls of academia that you never hear the truth of what's actually going on in your own country. This was triggered to me when I heard the head of the CIA yesterday say we are going to be attacked by Al-Qaeda and he can do nothing about it. The FBI, we're going to be attacked by Al-Qaeda, they can do nothing about it. Homeland Security, we're going to be attacked by Al-Qaeda, she can do nothing about it. And I say to myself, then what in the hell are they spending the millions or billions of dollars on? If they can't stop an attack that they know is coming, what good are they? I can guarantee you that you listening to this show could stop such an attack. You unleash the American manpower in this country, you're never going to see Al-Qaeda attacking in this country. Never. They'll be swinging from lampposts before they set off another underwear bomb. They'll be hanging from freeway overpasses before they get to scream blah, 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 and set off another bomb. But you leave it to those fat old men, those bureaucrats, and we're all going to be dead. It could be you, it could be your wife, it could be your children. This is coming from my heart. And if you disagree with me, that is perfectly well. But I will prove to you that you are wrong. Now, I want to go back to the UAC and how you've been brainwashed into thinking that they were a bunch of right-wing kooks and they were all wrong and they just picked on the poor sensitive artists of Hollywood who were just simply trying to make a good movie. Okay? You may not remember this, but back in the late 40s, the committee held 9 days of hearings into alleged communist propaganda and influence in the Hollywood motion picture industry. And there were a number of Hollywood individuals who refused to testify. They named themselves the Hollywood Ten to make themselves, you know, the drama queens of Hollywood. And these Hollywood Ten were blacklisted by the film industry. They wouldn't testify. They had contempt of Congress charges brought against them for refusal to answer some questions posed by committee members because they were guilty. And eventually more than 300 So-called artists, including directors, radio commentators, actors, and screenwriters, were boycotted by the studios. Some, like Charlie Chaplin, left the U.S. to find work. Others then wrote under pseudonyms or the names of colleagues. Okay? So what does that have to do with today? It has to do with the fact that we have an anti-American movement inside America. You don't have to look any further than, let's say, CNN. We know that virtually 8 out of 10 of the shows on MSNBC, if not 9 out of 10, are anti-American in every way. Sneering, sarcasm, every statement they make. Anti-military, anti-police, anti-family, anti-church. Every day. Sneering, every day. And you buy their products. You buy the GE light bulb the next day because you don't put your power where the money can be. In fact, you could put your power where the money is. You could stop buying GE's light bulbs until they close down MSNBC or turn it into an American station. But that's a separate day. So as a result of the pressure of UAC, certain pro-American movies were made in the 50s. They produced anti-communist and anti-Soviet propaganda films, such as John Wayne's Big Jim McLean, Guilty of Treason. They produced movies such as The Red Menace, The Red Danube, I Married a Communist, Red Planet Mars, and I Was a Communist for the FBI. Why don't we see any pro-American movies now? Why is every movie that is produced pro-Al-Qaeda, sympathy for the Arab, sympathy for the Middle Easterner, but contempt for the boys who go out and get shot in the face and come home without an arm or a leg or come home in a body bag? Why do the vermin of Hollywood continue to undermine the war effort? Why do the vermin in the ACLU continue to undermine the intelligence agents who risk their lives to bring these vermin, these subhumans to trial? These subhumans, let me say it again until you finally get it through your head. You're telling me Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is a human being? You're telling me that this subhuman, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, deserves all the attention of the U.S. government, all the protections of the Constitution? This subhuman who masterminded the 9/11 attack, he deserves all the protections of the U.S. Constitution and every crackpot anti-American vermin from NYU and Columbia and Harvard Law? All of these law clinic people, they line up foaming at the mouth to defend these subhumans. And what do they do to soldiers like Lieutenant Behenna or Colonel Chassani, who risked their lives in Iraq or Afghanistan? They give them military trials. And what do we give the subhumans? Civilian trials. Well, there's a reason for it. It's not happening by accident. All you got to do look is at Obama. It's all happening under Eric Holder and Obama. Unless you understand who Eric Holder is, the so-called head of the Justice Department, you're not going to understand how this is all happening to you and why, and so fast. And I have all of the data in my hand. You want a UAC? I'll give it to you right now. Someone did the research. Judicial Watch, a really great group, announced a list of Washington's 10 most wanted corrupt politicians for 2009. They did it, and they tell you why they're the most corrupt politicians for 2009. And they don't mince words. Pelosi is in there. Obama is in there. Murtha is in there. We know about Christopher Dodd. We know about these people and their corruption. Barney Frank, the liar, that filthy, double-talking, phony liar, and his dealings with Boston-based One United Bank. We know about all of these things. Timothy Geithner, The Treasury Secretary under Obama, failed to pay $34,000 in Social Security and Medicare taxes, but that's only the beginning of it. You want to go down the list? We'll go down the list that they put together. They did the work. They did the background work for UAC. Here's Attorney General Eric Holder, and here's what Judicial Watch has to say about him. Are you ready for this? I don't think you want to hear this. Here is the top cop in the United States of America, Eric Holder. Here is the man who they say has the worst ethics record imaginable. Judicial Watch says that Eric Holder, Attorney General, obstructed an FBI investigation of the theft of nuclear secrets from Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory. Remember that little story? Eric Holder rejected multiple requests from an independent counsel to investigate alleged fundraising abuses by then Vice President Al Gore in the Clinton White House. Holder undermined the criminal investigation of President Clinton by Kenneth Starr in the midst of the Lewinsky investigation. Eric Holder planned a violent raid to seize then 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez at gunpoint in order to return him to Castro's Cuba. But it gets worse. Here it comes. Moreover, they say, there is Holder's soft record on terrorism. Holder bypassed Justice Department procedures to push through Bill Clinton's scandalous presidential pardons and commutations, including for 16 members of FAL and a violent Puerto Rican terrorist group that orchestrated approximately 120 bombings in the United States, killing at least six people and permanently maiming dozens of others, including law enforcement officers. We're talking about the Attorney General of the United States of America. His record in the current administration, they say, is no better. As Holder did during the Clinton administration, Holder continues to ignore serious incidents of corruption that could impact his political bosses at the White House. For example, Holder has refused to investigate charges that the Obama political machine traded VIP access to the White House in exchange for campaign contributions and so forth and so on. Do you know what he did, Mr. Holder? You know about the Holder Justice Department dropped a voter intimidation case against the new Black Panther Party? On Election Day 2008, Black Panthers dressed in paramilitary garb threatened voters as they approached polling stations in Pennsylvania. Holder will not investigate that. Holder will not investigate the notorious organization known as ACORN, which is closely tied to President Obama. There were allegedly more than 400,000 fraudulent ACORN voter registrations in the 08 campaign. Then there were the journalist videos catching ACORN housing workers advising undercover reporters on how to evade tax, immigration, and child prostitution laws. Holder's controversial decisions, they say, on new rights for terrorists and his attacks on previous efforts to combat terrorism remind many of the fact that his former law firm, that's Eric Holder's law firm, has provided and continues to provide pro bono representation to terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. I know your heart just fell. I will repeat that if you don't know it. It came from Judicial Watch, from the Freedom of Information Act. Eric Holder, Attorney General, are you ready for this? His former law firm has provided and continues to provide pro bono representation to terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think that I am doing this because I enjoy the scrutiny that I get from people in government? Do you think I'm doing this because I enjoy living with my head on a swivel? Do you think I'm doing this because I need the money? I'm doing this because I'm warning you that we're on the verge of losing this great nation. That is my opinion. It is my right as an American to express my opinion, so long as I back it up with facts, as I just have done. I have presented a case for the last 40-some-odd minutes on why we must bring back an investigation panel, a hearing into subversives in the United States government. And I will now take your calls on the Savage Nation. Let us go to Jose in New York on WOR. Go ahead, Jose. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I agree we should bring back UAC. But the problem I see is that with all the corruption and all of the special interests in Washington, who in the world can we trust to put on this committee?
Okay, now you raise the most germane point, because I remember after the Ruby Ridge massacre, they had an investigation because the people were so outraged, and they picked the Queen of Diamonds, Dianne Feinstein, to lead the investigation. As long as I will live, I will never forget what this witch did. She sat there and she grilled so-called FBI agents and BATF agents, whatever, U.S. Marshals, who were hiding behind a screen, a curtain, to protect their identities, and she gave them leading questions to exonerate them before they even answered them. And she said to them, when you took aim at whatever his name was, I forget his name. It was a Randall Weaver. Remember, they shot his wife in cold blood and his 14-year-old son. Remember, they executed them. Do you remember any of this, Jose?
Not too much, but I think.
The U.S. government executed Randy Weaver's wife and 14-year-old son allegedly because he sold somebody a sawed-off shotgun. So hearings were held back in the 90s, and the Queen of Diamonds, Dianne Feinstein, now the head, by the way, she is the head. The number one person on the U.S. Intelligence Committee, which just shows you how crazy it all is, a gun grabber, an anti-gunner, a woman who never shot a BB gun in her life, now heads the U.S. A National Security Panel for the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee. I look around. I feel like I'm living in a madhouse. Carl Levin, the guy with the glasses on his nose from Michigan, another one who would scream and run if a muffler backfired. He'd probably need a new pair of Depends. He's again in charge of intelligence. Jane Harmon, housewife from San Diego, another liberal, never shot a BB gun. Another one at top of the intelligence community. So now let's come back to it. So Dianne Feinstein runs the committee, and she's asking the agent who shot and killed Randy Weaver's wife and 14-year-old son, and she said, when you took aim at Randall Weaver, wasn't the Calico curtain waving in the wind, officer? And he said, yes, ma'am, the curtain was waving in the wind. And so, officer, wasn't it a mistake when you accidentally shot Randall Weaver's son? Yes, ma'am. And of course, you know what happened. It was like the 9/11 Commission. Nobody was responsible. So the answer is, I don't know who would run the committee. I think the people would have to run the committee. There's the answer for you. I certainly don't trust Scott Brown from Massachusetts. Do you?
No, because we don't know this guy. I mean, he
you don't go. The day he won, everyone's screaming, he's already Obama. They turned him, they Obama-sized Scott Brown. I was the only one in the media said, wait a minute. The guy's been a politician for all these years in Massachusetts. I've watched the Brotherhood. What do you think, he was born yesterday? He has a history. Bingo, 2 weeks later already, he's missed the middle of the road. Katie Couric, I believe, in abortion, or whatever her name was, the old hag. That old lizard from CBS. Blah, 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 okay. He already agreed on abortion. Abortion's wonderful. It's between a woman and her doctor, he says, to make the choice. I heard that from Barbara Boxer in favor of a late-term abortion. That's only the beginning of Scott Brown. No, the people need to do this. Take the head of the Tea Party movement and put him in charge of UAC. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the CIA chief, Leon Panetta, who had no intelligence background whatsoever other than being a Democrat operative, the last job he held was running a cow college somewhere in Monterey, California. Sort of a retirement job. Obama picks him and puts him into intelligence, and he's rubber stamped by Congress, and there he is, the head of the CIA, and everything's fine. Now, we've had 2-3 attacks since he became CIA head, but that didn't stop him. Now he comes out yesterday and says, Al-Qaeda attack on U.S. only months away. That he tells us that the enemy is going to carry out new attacks from inside the nation, including clean recruits with a negligible trail of terrorist contacts. So Inspector Clouseau, who looks remarkably, by the way, like Peter Sellers in one of his early movies, makes an announcement like this. Why? What is he going to do about it? He's a man with no experience in intelligence, and he says, get ready to be attacked. That's all. I never saw anything like it. And we don't know where the attack's coming nor what they look like. We're sure that the attacker is going to have freckles, red hair and blue eyes. We're sure of that. And that every Irishman and every nun should be investigated by the FBI and the CIA. But not, of course, certain other people. Here's a little story. Muslim chaplain jailed this morning for smuggling box cutter blades into jail. A Muslim chaplain, Zul Qarnain Saeed, who worked as a DOC jail chaplain for the past 3 years, was arrested today for allegedly trying to smuggle in 3 box cutter blades and a pair of scissors to a lower Manhattan jail. Several sources said Shahid was caught this morning attempting to bring the 3 triangle-shaped utility blades used for box cutters into the jail known as the Tombs during a visit there. It was not known why the Muslim cleric, who has the title Imam, was visiting the jail. Okay? According to New York State Corrections Department records, a now 58-year-old man with the same name as Shahid was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison for second-degree murder and first-degree robbery in 1979. That man was paroled in 1993 after serving nearly 14 years and remained on parole until August 2001, but apparently now he's an imam. All right, took on an Arabic name, and he's smuggling box cutters into a jail. Because you know why? A-C-L-U. NYU, Columbia Law School, Harvard Law School, Stanford Law School, Bolt Law School, the institutions of lower living are going to kill all of us by producing brainwashed left-wing zombies who defend these people. Now, I can guarantee you that one of these psychotic left-wing clinic lawyers, one of these activist little girls, these monster girls that come out of law school today, and have nothing but sympathy for these types, are going to defend them. And you know what they're liable to say? It wasn't actually a box cutter. These are special halal blades that only Muslims can use because they don't want to use the filthy, contaminated blades provided by the New York State Department of Corrections. They were part of a religious service. According to their holy teachings, they need such blades for their personal hygiene, Your Honor. And so we therefore ask for a summary judgment to dismiss the complaint. Moreover, we want to collect $12 million from the New York City Department of Corrections for religious discrimination, Your Honor. And of course, Your Honor is a teacher from NYU. All right, counsel, please come forward. How about $3 million? No, I want $12 million. All right, take $5 million. Next. Florida. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. My father, who was originally born and raised in Germany, but came over to the U.S. in 1928 before World War II because he saw the handwriting on the wall, spoke seven languages and was actually picked as the third intelligence officer in what began as the OSS that was founded by Bill Donovan way back in World
War II. Oh, your father was one of the original guys in the OSS?
One of the three originals. Bill Donovan was my brother's godfather.
And hold on. This is so much. I mean, you're a very important caller to this show. Did you see the movie with Matt Damon and him, Shepard, the Good Shepherd?
No, sir. I haven't been to a theater or a movie in 30 years. I'm not giving any of my money to the communists.
No. You should rent that DVD because it's the history of the CIA, which includes scenes about the early days and how they recruited and who they recruited from before they had to diversify the CIA. And, you know, and bring in people that made it look more like America. And as a result, now we have a CIA that functions more like America as opposed to functioning more like the CIA.
Well, it dysfunctions, but long and short of it is everything you're saying is right. However, I'm not sure it's pointed enough. The people that are in charge, and it's not only the current administration, but there's traces and threads throughout all these administrations, they're diehard communists. They are hell-bent intent on destroying America, okay? The only way this is, and believe me, I have read volumes and volumes and volumes.
Wait, my friend, I'm not disagreeing with the word you said. But they've done a pretty good job, haven't they, by bankrupting the country? Because if you bankrupt a nation and you cripple it and destroy the currency, tell me what more you need to do to it. Do they need to drop an atomic bomb after they broke the dollar?
Well, that's just the icing on the cake. I mean, they took away all the virtues and all the principles of your sons and daughters, so your daughters are idolized.
Yeah, they're Jezebels. Matt, stay on the line. I want to talk with you at the beginning of the next hour. Please stay with the Savage Nation.
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Fear of communist subversive activities, appointed by Congress to investigate, Chairman Parnell Thomas opens the hearing.
Investigating alleged communist influence and infiltration in the moving picture industry must not be considered or interpreted as an attack on the industry itself.
The court is packed with fashionably dressed women as witness Robert Taylor takes the stand. In answer to a committee question on whether the Communist Party should be outlawed in America, Mr. Taylor replies,
I personally certainly do believe that the Communist Party should be outlawed. However, I'm not an expert on politics or of what the reaction would be. If I had my way about it, they'd all be sent back to Russia or some other unpleasant place.
Now, that was from 1947 when we had strong men running America who were worried about the infiltration of enemies. In those days, it was communists into the United States government and the media. Also testifying at that time was Ronald Reagan, and I want you to listen to what he says because it's quite interesting. You decide what where he's coming from. Listen to the next one.
The congressional investigation is not a judicial hearing, but refusal to testify results in a contempt of Congress charge. Next on the list of witnesses is Ronald Reagan, who says,
I will be frank with you that as a citizen I would hesitate or I would not like to see any political party outlawed on the basis of its political ideology, because we've spent 170 years in this country on the basis that democracy is strong enough to stand up and fight for itself against the inroads of any ideology, no matter how much we may disagree with it. But at the same time, I never, as a citizen, want to see our country become so, or become urged by either fear or resentment of this group, that we ever compromise with any of our democratic principles through that fear or resentment.
Well, we agree with that.
I still think that democracy can do it.
We agree with that. We agree with that.
All right, so there was Ronald Reagan taking a middle-of-the-road approach on communism at that time, which is why he was a pretty popular and a great president. But listen to what he said. He didn't say that he said the party shouldn't be outlawed. I agree with him 100%. But I again go back to my primary statement. Barack Hussein Obama is not representing the Democrat Party USA. He is representing the Socialist Party USA or something even further to the left of it. In Europe, they understand this. Europeans are far more sophisticated. They understand that they have parties on the right and parties on the left and parties in the middle. They have socialist parties. They have nationalist parties and parties in between. Here in this dumb country of ours, we have Democrat, Republican, and it keeps going on and on because of morons in the media, both on the left and on the right, who continue to tell you that if you vote for one A or B, you're going to get just what you want. It's utter rubbish. So I say to you, Obama is the first president of a socialist party, USA, in my opinion. He has surrounded himself by far-left socialists. What, do they have to jump up and say it? Yes, they have to jump up and say it. A cigarette comes with a warning label that you might get cancer from smoking this cigarette. Obama should just come out and say, I am a proud socialist. I want this country's integrity to be rolled into the United States, the UN. I want this United States of ours to lose its borders, language, and culture. And I want this to be a nation, not a light unto the world, but one of many lights of the world. I, Barack Hussein Obama, am embarrassed to be an American, and I want to be an international man. I am a man for all people, not a man for one people. Let him come out and say it. Then we can talk about it. Of course, we have already heard it. He didn't have to say those words for us to know who he actually is. The European trips, the bowing down to the King of Saudi Arabia, the bowing down to this one and that one, all of the special deals, the lax national security, the appointment of czars who don't answer to Congress, the breaking of the U.S. budget, the contempt for the American people. You call it anything you want. I know what it is. Now we find out just minutes ago from Fox News and the Savage Nation who it was who took the underwear bomber and refused to interrogate him in a military tribunal, refused to turn him over to the military authorities. The man who said he made the decision to protect the Christmas Day bomb suspect from any interrogation, it came out just now, was Attorney General Eric Holder. He made that decision, he said today. He just released that today. Eric Holder, the man I've been talking about earlier, the man who released the Puerto Rican terrorists under Clinton, said Wednesday he made the decision to charge the underwear bomber in civilian court rather than the military system. That's what he just said. And so that's the country we are living in today. The Attorney General says that the FBI told its partners in the intelligence community on Christmas Day and again the next day that Umar Farouk, whatever, would be charged criminally, not in a military court. So it came from Holder again. Again, it was Holder. Again, it was Holder. He got all of the care that he needed. He got surgery, got the best medical care in the world. After trying to bring a plane down, blowing it up and killing everybody, we gave him the best anti-burn treatment that the world has to offer. And at that time, he was no longer being asked to give any information at all because the military was thrown out of the picture. Instead, they brought in cockamamie, whack job, left-wing fanatic anti-American lawyers from God knows what despicable law school who Mirandized him and protected him from talking. And he stopped talking. Now they're lying. The government says he's talking again. They're full of crap. I don't believe a word they say. They're lying. What information did he all of a sudden get? Why would he give any information? He's giving up nothing. He's giving up nothing. He doesn't have to. He's got a lawyer from somewhere. So that's why I say it's time to bring back UAC. CIA chief says Al-Qaeda attack on U.S. months away. That's right. Inspector Clouseau of the CIA saying that the Al-Qaeda is sending operatives into this country as I speak to you. They're going to release Hezbollah agents in this country to carry out new attacks from inside the nation, including clean recruits with a negligible trail of terrorist contacts. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. And I will now turn it over to the people of the United States of America
and see what you think, because I can guarantee you that I've got the attention of every intelligence agency in this country listening to this show. I can guarantee you that they're listening. And many of them are agreeing with me. Don't make any mistake about it. I can guarantee you that as I speak, this one man alone, no organization, no party, I belong to nothing. This man alone, one man, one American, immigrant son, using native intelligence, using a high degree of education, a lot of schooling, using street knowledge, and using my own observations over many decades, I can guarantee you they know I'm a great resource. They know I'm a national treasure, not a national threat. That would be the agents in the FBI, in the CIA, and in other places who actually know the danger we are in. But if you go up the chain, you understand that they are working at odds against their own operatives within their own agencies. The people in the FBI and the CIA know the danger we are in. They do it for a living. They know these people better than you do. They've looked into the eyes of hell. They look into these ghouls every day. They look into the eyes of the subhumans who hate you because you're white, who hate you because you're an American, who hate you because you're a Christian, who hate you because you're a Jew. They hate you. They want to kill you. They want you to crawl on all fours before them. They know the danger we're in. But if you go up high enough in the chain, you know what you get? Double talk. You get corporate Johnnies who aren't worth very much. I'll be very nice right now. I'm going to stop because I don't want to get too flowery in my lingo. I'm going to turn the show back to callers. I'm going to begin right in this hour with a caller from the last hour who identifies himself as Matt from Florida, who says his father was number three in the early OSS, the agency that predated the CIA. Matt, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You know, all of what you're saying is true. I'm not sure it's so clear as to go out and say that it has to be an agenda. These people aren't all that stupid in the administration. There's a specific agenda. I believe it's a specific agenda to do exactly what you said, to utterly and quickly destroy the country while they have a chance, or while they think they have a chance. I go so far as to believe that they would actually, it's convenient that there would be a horrific terrorist attack on the U.S. because it gives them an opportunity to take it one step farther.
Yes, and Frank, remember what Rahm Emanuel said? Never let any crisis go unused. Remember that? Right, and Obama's in such trouble politically. The Democrats are in such trouble politically. There's only one thing that can save them politically, and you and I both know what that is. That is a Reichstag fire, and that would be letting the terrorists attack us. They don't actually have to plan it themselves, do they? All they got to do is let the enemy do it. Then they could say, oh, my God, we got to rally around the president. He's the commander-in-chief. All hail Obama. He will save us. And many, many intelligent people are saying this right now, Matt. I'm sure you agree with that analysis.
I agree. The biggest villain, in my mind, is not necessarily the terrorist without. It's the terrorist within. Okay, and those are the politicians that are hell-bent on specifically and purposefully, by design, by engineering, destroying the country. And they are. And voting in or voting out, I don't think that will do it at all, because it's all in place. All these structures are in place, right down to the silly things that drain the economy and the might out of private industry, you know, the environmental, the green stuff, and all the regulations.
Yeah, no, it's all interconnected. I understand. To hold us to international law and hold us to international socialist precepts with regard to economics and whatnot. You know, the story I read earlier, a Muslim chaplain, so-called, bringing box cutters into a jail, the tombs in New York City. What does that tell you about what's going on in this country, particularly amongst radical Muslim converts inside the prison system? What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
It has everything, because they've been given free latitude and free reign and really rights that go beyond that which typically the ordinary American citizen would be privileged to get if he was stopped on the street for spitting on the sidewalk. I mean,
yes, in fact, it's very interesting that the Muslim chaplain, so-called, apparently is a man who was arrested for murder and released about 10 years ago, changed his name to something Arabic and put on the holy mumbo jumbo. And there he was already, everyone bowing down to him as he goes here and there, a big holy man, you know, another one. So there we are. That's the country we're living in, with the religion as the ultimate Trojan horse, wouldn't you say, Matt?
We're a step behind Great Britain, and you know, look at what you're going through. You know, we're a step behind them, maybe just a half a step. you know? And
well, sure, Matt, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't talk about it, but I'm deeply enmeshed in fighting for my freedom and my life every day. I've been involved with lawyers now for months and months and months. I'm spending myself into the poorhouse. Thank God that people have contributed a lot of money, but I'm getting nowhere. I'm getting absolutely nowhere with the British government. All I have is lawyers taking my money. And frankly, I'm at a point of making a radical decision on this issue because I'm being undermined from within as well at the very same time, which is a story that will be told eventually. I don't want to go into that right now. But I've been fighting this all on my own. The only people who've been backing me are my own listeners, as you well know. I had no help whatsoever from any group in the United States of America. Not one civil rights group has come to my aid. Don't you find that odd? Don't you think that fits into the pattern of what we're talking about, Matt?
I think it is the pattern. The thing that you have going against you is you're a patriot white American who's earned his own way and paid his taxes and played by the rules. You're the enemy of the state. You're the biggest enemy that our government can see. They hate you. They hate me. They hate any American who gets up in the morning, works 15 hours a day, puts food on the table for the family, pays their taxes, and plays by the rules. And teachers.
Well, here's one for the books is somewhat comic. CIA chief tells us that we're going to get attacked and he can do nothing about it, right? But here's a story out of New York. A girl, a woman, Long Island driver caught using dummy in carpool lane. The tip-off was the sunglasses. A New Yorker faces a $135 traffic fine for using a mannequin as her plus one in the high-occupancy lane of the Long Island Expressway. An alert sheriff's deputy on LIE became suspicious, you hear? But the alert sheriff's deputy or a cop anywhere in America couldn't become suspicious of a phony imam, could he?
Absolutely not.
The imam could be walking with a sizzling bomb in the street, and the cops would look the other way out of fear that some cockamamie anti-American vermin from a law school would sue the cop.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Look, I know who these people are. I feel it in my core. I know them. I know how sick they are. They're mentally ill people. They're going to get us all killed, Matt.
No, I agree. And it's by intent. It's by design. You know, the only way we're going to get our country back is if all the working people take off a month and go to Washington and take it back. It's not going to happen by voting, in my mind. It's too deeply entrenched. The whole government entity, all the departments, all the cabinet.
I agree. I think it's rotten to the core from top to bottom. Matt, stay in the line. I'm going to send you a copy of Banned in Britain, and I'm going to make an announcement when I come back about HUAC and how you can help right here on the Savage Nation. I realize this is too much for the average audience to take, honest to God. I know it. I mean, you'd rather, you know, if you listen to the golfer or the wall banger, or you're going to hear, if only you put the Republicans back, why then we'd have a real good government. We got to get them Republicans back in power because, although they're not perfect, they're the way to go because them Dems are no good. You listen to me, the golfer. And then wall banger chimes in. He hasn't had original thoughts since St. Paddy's Day, 1959. Same thing. And in Paddy's Day, St. Paddy's Day, 59, he had an original thought he had to go into therapy after it. He got so frightened. So here we are. You heard my pitch. And I say bring back UAC. Tomorrow I'm going to bring back part two of Bring Back UAC. In fact, my monologue on Bring Back UAC will be posted at the end of the day on michaelsavage.com. And I say if we have a committee of the people to investigate all the government agencies and all the operatives within the agencies from the top and the plots against the United States from within, we might have avoided the Fort Hood massacre, for example. This was triggered in me when I heard the hearings on the Fort Hood massacre and I heard Defense Secretary Gates have the nerve to say to a congressman or a senator, I'm not even going there, when he was asked about Islam, is there a relationship to Islam? And Gates said, I'm not even going there. Oh, no, you're not going anywhere. And today Gates again gives another double talk statement. We have no confidence in these people. And then the final blow is Panetta, the head of the CIA, saying we're going to be attacked. He can't do anything about it. And so we, the people, respectfully say, then turn in your resignations and put someone in who can do something about it. How's that?
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit TRNCentral.com.
are talking about the head of the CIA coming out with an astonishing statement saying we will be attacked and he can do nothing about it. Leon Panetta, former college president from Monterey University or University of California, Monterey, whatever it was, some new college, no intelligence experience, was put in by Barack Hussein Obama, the head of the Socialist Party USA, or the head of the Bolshevik Party USA, whichever you prefer. You call him a Democrat. I call him more specifically a Bolshevik or a socialist because that's what his policies most approximate. And he puts in the head of the CIA someone that he can control who has no intelligence experience. So we have one blow up after another. Fort Hood massacre. No one's responsible. The underwear bomber. No one's responsible. Not Big Sis. Not nobody. I don't want to give up another name. We give him another name. You know, what's the good of name calling? What's it going to get us? You know the trouble we're in. So now he says we're going to be attacked and he can do nothing about it. So what do you think about that? Paul in New York on WOR, go ahead, please. What do you think about Panetta saying he can't protect us?
Well, it's becoming quite clear to me. He just really just confirmed what I already knew. It's going to be a false flag attack. I mean, they're going to false flag attack us and bring us into martial law.
Your worst fear under Obama is that because he's lost control and lost popular support, he has no alternative but martial law, and he's going to use this as a ploy.
Absolutely. I'm sure you're familiar with Operation Northwoods of 1962 that said that the CIA would be used to commit false flag attacks on American soil to bring us into a war with Cuba. That's what happened with 9/11. That's what's going to happen. They're going to blame it on Iran. You ask, why are we in Iraq and Afghanistan? We're in Iraq and Afghanistan because Iran is smack dab in the middle of both of those countries. It's quite clear.
Well, let's go back to your bigger picture. You're saying that the Hezbollah operatives that he says are going to be activated in America are going to be used as a pretext to permit Israel to attack Iran. Is that more or less the scenario you are suggesting?
That's what I'm suggesting, yes, sir.
You don't support the repressive regime of Iran that's now shooting protesters, I'm sure.
Of course not. Of course not.
Iran is a dictatorship run by a madman. He's the Hitler of our time. I've been trying to warn America for 3 years, but it didn't stop Columbia University from saluting him, nor from CBS for inviting him for a big speech, did it? It didn't stop any of the left-wing operatives in the media from getting down on their hands and knees and kissing the madman's ring, did it? Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. John in San Francisco on 860, my new affiliate. What's on your mind, John? Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, we have a fifth column operating in this damn country, and it's not. Before I get into the spiritual picture, I want to talk about the political picture. Number one, it's not just in the government. It's in the media. It's also in pop culture. Let me give you an example. Back in the 1970s, 1960s, when the women's right movement was going, that they want to tell people that was about equal rights. Equal rights, but what it was really about was the government couldn't tax half the population after women's rights. The government's the only one who won. They take the kids, they put them in these child care services, all these people there are socialists. Dr. Savage, this is a fifth column, and it's going all around the world.
In broad principles, I agree with you, by the way. You know, the elites listening to you would probably think that you sound like a, you know, typical right-wing knuckle. They don't know that you're absolutely right, by the way. It's all part and parcel, in my opinion, of the very same desire to destroy the family, destroy the male in particular, weaken the family, and turn the family into a vassal state of the state. Thanks for the call. We have talked about it. Now I have a special treat for you. A number of years ago, I had a gentleman on by the name of Herbert Rammerstein, who used to work for the U.S. Information Agency. He goes way back. Rammerstein used to, he knew what the UAC was. He was around during those days. He lived through it. Rammerstein, we tried to get him on the show today, but Mr. Rammerstein is ill and could not join us. But this man knows what it was. I want you to listen to clip 19 of Mr. Rammerstein in a previous incarnation.
The United States government in 1995 decided to release what they called Venona. These were thousands of messages sent by the Soviet intelligence personnel in the United States back to Moscow, reporting on what they were doing and receiving instructions back as to what to do. Often there were real names in these reports. Sometimes, most of the time, there were code names. But if you put the code names together with the incidents, after a while you can figure out which code name was what. And when you saw the Nona, it was very clear that the basic story that we understood was much more than we understood. That almost every spy was not only a loyal communist, but was operated through the Communist Party on behalf of Soviet intelligence.
And one day they broke into a message about a spy code name, Liberal. Breaking the code of that message uncovered the infamous spies, the Rosenbergs. I want you to listen to what Rammerstein says about Bill Clinton and what he did to the CIA in clip 23.
When the president cares, when the whole government cares, and the information is being fed into a system that puts things together and you begin to look at things so to prevent such attacks, then you can expect the people to do their job. But in the Clinton years, the CIA was, in fact, reduced to really a shambles. And this was true of all of our other agencies as well. The FBI, which had penetrated these groups for many, many years, stopped penetrating them during the Carter administration. During Reagan, they got back into some of the job, but once you had Clinton in, then everything stopped. Legislation was passed by the Liberal Democrats in Congress, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, for example, which does a wonderful job of making it impossible for the FBI to do its job. I'll give you an example. A month before the attack on the World Trade Center, an Arab man came into a flight school and was ready to pay in cash for training in how to fly a plane, but not how to take off and land. He just wanted to learn how to steer. Well, the people at the flight school were not idiots, and they called the FBI. The FBI arrested him and confiscated his computer and, of course, his telephone. The next logical thing to do was to get into that computer and see what kind of information he had, who his contacts were. You would see who was looking for this character, who suddenly was off the streets, not in contact with his buddies. Who's going to call to find him? But in order to do that, under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FBI would have to get a warrant from a court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And the Liberal Democrats had put the standards so high to get a warrant that when the FBI in Minnesota asked for it, the Justice Department said, "We cannot go to the court with this. We don't have the right to get a warrant based on the information that you have." And after, of course, September 11th, they did get the warrant, and they got into that computer, and they found all kinds of information about the air currents over New York, which might have given them some indication that somebody would attempt to do something with an airplane in New York. And, of course, if they'd have been picking up the names of his associates calling in to find him, they could have gone out and found them.
Now, I realize this is slow. This is an elderly man. But, you know, sometimes wisdom comes in a different voice than, let's say, the Jersey Shore, somebody with gelled hair and steroid muscles. You know, sometimes wisdom comes from someone who doesn't look like a slut or a degenerate Hollywood actor. You know, sometimes intelligence comes from just an old man who knows what's going on. So I risked your displeasure, ladies and gentlemen, by playing that long 2-minute and 50-second sound piece of a man who knew exactly what was going on. And he told you what Bill Clinton did to the CIA. He told you what Jimmy Carter did to the CIA. He told you what Liberal Democrats did through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. He told you that all the flight school principals knew that this Arab was up to no good and went to the FBI, and the FBI agent knew that this Arab was up to no good. The Arab was able to get away with it because the FISA was not even informed, because the Clinton Justice Department refused to permit the FBI to go into his computer. And so we had 911. Now I bring it all the way up to today. Today we learned that our current attorney general, who makes Clinton's attorney general look like a conservative, Eric Holder, says, "I did it. It was me who demanded that we Mirandize the Christmas underwear bomber. I did it. I take responsibility. I believe in American civil rights." He has every right to not give up any information. So the very same Eric Holder who has such love and care for the American system to the extent that he would bend over backwards to protect a man who tried to bring down a plane with everyone on it. You do know the Christmas bomber was seated right over the fuel tanks of that plane. Did you know that much? That came up yesterday on my show. That's right. The enemy is so smart that they got him a seat right over the fuel tanks of that airplane when he tried to set off that firebomb in his crotch. You can laugh at it all you want. The U.S. government failed us. Big Sis failed us. Peter Sellers failed us. They all failed us. Was it not for the Flying Dutchman, who, by the way, have you not heard? You've not heard from him much, have you? How come the hero of the Christmas Day bombing has been dropped by the vermin in the American media? How come he isn't on every television show? How come he hasn't been given a Presidential Medal of Freedom? How come he wasn't appearing on the stage with Obama? How come he hasn't been seen on every television show? The man who saved that plane from going down is a hero equal to a Chess Sully Sullberger, isn't he? Equal to him. Sully Sullberger is a real hero. But so is the Flying Dutchman who leapt over seats and stopped that bum by strangling him and ripping his pants off and putting the fire out and burning his own hands and doing it. How come you haven't heard from him? How come you haven't seen him? How come you don't hear about him? How come none of the major networks have him on? There's a reason for it, because every time you'd see him, you'd say, God, the government failed us. We have to take the law into our own hands in order to defend ourselves. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, for a one-man show with an amazing crew of three guys, I think we do more research than most of the major networks for the American people, and I hope you appreciate the kind of work it takes to get a show like this together with newsreels from UAC, with sound bites from Rammerstein, to the history of the OSS, the CIA. It's amazing to me what can be done if you really put your mind to it. Really amazing to me. But the fact of the matter is I'm doing what the government should be doing for you to protect all of us, including them. And we'll continue this for the next few days until we get to the bottom of why Leon Panetta, the head of the CIA, is telling us he has no doubt that Al-Qaeda will attack us in the next 3 months, but he can do nothing about it. Jimmy in New York on WOR, why would he make such an astonishingly weak statement?
Hello, Mr. Savage. The communists in the 60s set up a group in Washington called the Institute for Policy Studies. It's a well-known, extremely powerful KGB front group. They're the ones who toppled the Shah of Iran. They're the ones who guided the policies of Clinton and Carter, because whenever a Democrat's in power, they bring people from the Institute for Policy Studies to be in charge of security and to be their advisors.
Right.
On the 20th anniversary, Leon Panetta was in charge of a committee put together to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the founding of this KGB front group, Institute for Policy Studies. That does not make Leon Panetta a knowing communist, because...
Let's slow down. The Institute for Policy Studies is based where? Where is it based?
In D.C.
Does it not have a branch in San Francisco?
There's another one out west that's not related to him.
Oh, because I heard of such a group, a sister-type group, another Red Sister group. But you've alleged for years, Jimmy, that the Islamic radical front groups and the Communist Party are one actually in the same. They're sort of twins, twin horsemen of the apocalypse. Is that correct?
Right. The same way the communists supported Hitler until he invaded the Soviet Union, the communists support Muslim terror. They arm it, they train it, and I say they initiated it way back. Because we have connections. I have Soviet publications where they brag about training Muslim leaders. When they go into Afghanistan and they kidnap 10, 20, 30, 40,000 kids and bring them to the Soviet Union for training, those kids are not going to come back to be good, righteous, God-fearing mullahs. They're going to come back to be pushing the Soviet goals. I've always called it the communist hand in the Muslim glove.
Well, let's put the communist part aside for the moment, when the real threat today is radical Islam. We know that. They're at war with the West. Their values and ours are at loggerheads. Do you believe that Eric Holder is soft on terrorism, or do you believe he's actually on their side? I mean, let's go right to the mats with this question. Why would he mirandize the Christmas Day bomber? Why would he protect him with the U.S. Constitution when he's not a U.S. citizen? You and I both know he's not entitled to U.S. protection since he's not a citizen. He's a foreign operative. He is an enemy combatant. He was sent by the army of Al-Qaeda to kill. Why are they calling him a U.S. citizen and affording him those protections when we know he's not a U.S. citizen? Tell me. So where does that put Eric Holder? Why is he on his side?
Well, I can't say what his motive is, whether he's intentionally or not trying to hurt us, but the end result is the same. See, the communists don't only want communists in positions of power. If they can't get a communist, they'll settle for a dope, anybody who's going to be hurtful to our side. So I don't know Eric Holder personally to know what his motivations are, but the end result is the same.
He strikes me as a kind of guy who's a left-wing ideologue who does things according to the left-wing doctrinaire playbooks. Whatever the left-wing doctrine says, he does. He's from the same bolt of cloth as Obama and the entire Ayers clan. That's how I see him. If Bill Ayers was the attorney general, you would have gotten the same results. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly right. Exactly.
In other words, Eric Holder or Bill Ayers, it wouldn't matter who the attorney general was. Bill Ayers, if he was attorney general, would have done the same thing. He would have said, oh, no. Christmas Day bomb is entitled to all protections of the U.S. justice system. I Mirandize him. He can't give up any information. Take him to the hospital. Jimmy, thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. We have an astonishing caller. John in Chicago, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, John?
I heard you got excited when you talked to that man about OSS. I'm an original agent.
You are.
1943.
You are one of the original guys who worked with Wild Bill?
That's correct. I was an OG, operational group. And then later they wanted me going as a spy, but I declined.
What type of things did you do that you can share with the audience today?
We were trained to parachute, submarine, or infiltrate with an LCI, live off the land, no doctors, no nurses, no supplies, no tactical support, and no route of withdrawal. And blow up. Trains. We blew up 5 enemy troop trains, German troop trains.
So did you work with the partisans in France?
No. In the Balkans.
Oh, you worked in Yugoslavia. That's a heartbreaking story because the Serbs, as you well know, protected the American flyers better than any other group in the Balkans, and they were rewarded for that rescuing American flyers by Bill Clinton when he conducted the war crime of bombing them for 88 merciless days using U.S. Air Force planes repainted in NATO markings. You know about that travesty, John, don't you?
Yes, I know, but we were, the OSS people were on the island of Vis in the Dalmatian group. And when the planes were coming back after bombing the oil fields, anyone that was crippled could make it back would land there. And then John Hamilton, Sterling Hayden, was part of the OSS, and he had a speedboat, brought in supplies. He would take them out.
Wait, you mean the actor Sterling Hayden was part of that group?
Yes.
Those were the days when Hollywood produced patriots instead of, enemies of the state. How old a man are you, John?
Next month, I get my 88th birthday and enter my 89th year.
John, is there anything I can send you for your birthday? I don't want to just send you a book. I'd like to you're a hero of the Savage Nation. I'm so honored that you're listening to the show out of Chicago on WIND. I mean, not only does this mean a lot to me, I think it means a lot to my listeners to realize what a hero you really are.
Well, and thank you.
John, I don't know what to say other than I'm just honored that you listen to the show. I will send you a copy of Banned in Britain. And my friend, John, listen to me. If ever, God forbid, you need something like a medical bills or whatever, if the government's not taking care of you, let us know. We'll help you.
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today on the Savage Nation, there's so much to talk about. I don't know where to begin. I'll begin with a story that you're not going to believe. A very close family member came home last night from the East Coast to San Francisco on a major airline, and the flight was diverted to New Mexico out of nowhere. It had to make an emergency landing owing to three drug addicts on the plane who became sick. The drug addicts were taken off the plane on stretchers. All sorts of EMT had to arrive. Nobody knew what exactly it is that they took, but everybody's life was put on hold for the three drug addicts. Now, the reason the plane was diverted for the drug addicts is because of the litigious society in which we live. The vermin with law degrees would have sued the airlines had the airlines not landed and taken these drug addicts off the plane who claimed to have been sick. So therefore, the airline had to take the plane down early, pay a new landing fee, God knows what else it cost them in fuel and whatever. And think of all the hundreds of people whose lives were upset because of three drug addicts. Now you have a microcosm of America on that one airplane. This entire society is being ruled by drug addicts, by perverts, by illegal aliens. Anybody who can get the ACLU or other left-wing lawyers, or just simply a greedy lawyer, that is any vermin with a law degree can sue anyone for anything, is tying up the whole society, which goes right back to the so-called health reform insurance scam that Obama and Pelosi are trying to pull off. They have not addressed the number one cost in our medical system, which are unnecessary and illegal lawsuits. We're talking about tort reform. Without tort reform, there can be no health reform. Without tort reform, there can be no savings in the medical system. And yet Obama, who is owned by the Trial Lawyers Association, refuses to address, as do the Democrats, any sort of fair tort reform. Now, talking about airplanes being forced to land, here's another one. Just came out, minutes ago. FBI says an unruly passenger blames medical pot cookies. Pittsburgh, AP, a San Francisco man claims he was high on a double dose of medical marijuana cookies when he screamed, dropped his pants, and attacked crew members on a cross-country flight forcing its diversion to Pittsburgh, the FBI said Wednesday. Kinmon Chan, 30, was charged in a criminal complaint with interfering with the duties of a flight attendant on allegations that he fought with crew members on U.S. Airways Flight 1447 from Philly to Los Angeles. His federal public defender, Jay Finkelstein, declined to comment. Crew members said Chan made odd gestures before he entered the plane's rear restroom. Shortly after takeoff, he began to scream, according to the complaint. Chan told the FBI, quote, that he came back to reality and exited the restroom, at which point the crew noticed his pants were down, his shirt was untucked, and all the compartments of the restroom were open. When crew members tried to get Chan to sit, he fought them and had to be subdued in a chokehold. Now listen to this. Chan told agents who interviewed him in Pittsburgh that he ate marijuana cookies while waiting for his flight to depart in Philly. The complaint said, Chan advised he has a medical marijuana card and he took double his normal dose. Margaret Philbin, a spokesmouth for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Pittsburgh, said Chan has a legally issued medical marijuana card for a legitimate health issue, which she declined to identify. The flight was diverted to Pittsburgh International Airport, where Chan was arrested, then jailed, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is an interesting story. It's interesting because a terrorist just learned that all he has to do is take medical marijuana or a cookie, and try to blow the plane up. And then he can use that as an excuse, saying it was too much of a dose of his medicine, you see. And therefore, he couldn't control himself when he tried to set the underwear bomb on fire, or when he tried to open a cabin door and throw the pilot out, or whatever. Isn't that wonderful how the ACLU and lawyers in America are making you and your children safer every day? That's a little bit of a microcosm of America in two airplanes, all in one day on the Savage Nation.
Our national security has gone to pot.
Yeah. Yep, gone to pot. Here are some other headlines on the Savage Nation. Of course, today is a big day because we're talking about my thoughts that we must bring back UAC in order for America to survive. many people don't know what the House on Un-American Activities actually was. HUAC was an investigative committee of the United States House of Representatives that looked into subversion of the U.S. government. This committee investigated those accused of being communists within the U.S. government. It investigated those accused of being communists within the U.S. media, especially in Hollywood. And to a large extent, it was very successful in exposing communist infiltration both in government and in the media. Did you know that? They actually rooted out communist operative Alger Hiss. This committee revealed the extent of communist infiltration of the film industry, which was real. This committee served America and protected it from what was then the most serious threat to the national security of the United States of America, communism. But here's the rub. After the 1950s, a generation of far leftists and fellow travelers in academia and the media claimed that the efforts of HUAC and Joseph McCarthy in the Senate had been nothing more than a witch hunt. They claimed it had destroyed people's lives who had nothing to do with communism. Remember all those movies, those sympathetic movies about the poor people of Hollywood who were picked on by the evil McCarthy. But guess what we learned? In the 1990s, there were the Venona transcripts that were published. These were intelligence intercepts from the former Soviet Union, which clearly proved that most of the people that HUAC had been investigating had in fact been directly involved with communist groups. Many of them had actually spied on the U.S. for the Soviet Union. Now, while the old leftists still claim that HUAC was just a bunch of right-wing, knuckle-dragging anti-Americans, the truth is exactly the opposite. Now, the threat of Soviet communism may be gone, but other threats, perhaps more dangerous, exist. And we're going to talk about that on The Savage Nation. The ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and other organizations that are today's enemy within. How about the threat of radical Islam and terrorism? How about Fort Hood? How do you think this happened? Again, it was the lawyers who prevented the army from throwing Major Hassan out. This is the kind of national insecurity that we now face. We are now at a greater risk than we've ever been before, and I believe we need HUAC more than ever before. And that's why we're talking about it is time to bring back HUAC, the House Committee on Un-American Activities. It's a very important story, and we're going to talk about it over the next few days. In fact, I did an interview with one of the members of HUAC, Herbert Romerstein, retired United States Info Agency, who knows exactly the good work that HUAC did. With Obama and his minions, his czars, we need HUAC more than ever. And one other footnote, I can guarantee you this will soon be seen on the Hemorrhoid Show on Fox News. Tell me when you first see HUAC come up on Fox News by the ham with the blackboard. This is Michael Savage.
Savage.
We have talked about the administration's failure to connect radical Islamists to terrorists. Well, but it goes way beyond that. Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch joins us now to talk about an article that he just wrote on humanevents.com in which he discusses a possible stealth jihadist. Robert Spencer, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks. It's always a pleasure to be here with a great warrior for freedom of speech.
Tell us more about this.
Yes, Tariq Ramadan is an internationally renowned Islamic scholar. He is often referred to as the Muslim Martin Luther, and he has just been allowed to come back into the United States after having been barred for 5 years. And he was given a special exemption, as a matter of fact, that enables him to return to the country, because despite his title as the Muslim Martin Luther, Tariq Ramadan is actually what I referred to as a stealth jihadist. That is, somebody who is pursuing the same goal as somebody like Osama bin Laden, but by different means. Osama bin Laden, of course, wants to blow things up and destroy things and intimidate the American people and frighten the American people and ultimately destroy the American economy so that he can ultimately defeat the nation and institute an Islamic State here. Now, Tariq Ramadan also would like to see Sharia Islamic law imposed in the West, but he is doing it in a different way, and that is a stealthy way, not through violence, but through, for one thing, dissembling about his true intentions and the true intentions of many Muslim groups in the West, and hoping thereby to get our guard down so that we will not see somebody like Tariq Ramadan and others like him as part of the overall jihad threat. But in reality, it's not really hard to see where Tariq Ramadan really stands.
Well, why was he barred in the first place?
For one thing, he was barred from the U.S. in the first place by the Bush administration because he was giving charitable contributions to a group that was in turn turning over charitable contributions to the Islamic terrorist group Hamas. And so that is something that's against American law. And when the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, announced that he was going to be allowed into the country after all, she didn't say, well, it turns out he wasn't giving money to a group that was funding Hamas after all. She did not and could not say that. Instead, what she said was, or what her spokesman, Darby Holliday, said, was that Clinton had chosen to exercise her exemption authority for the benefit of Tariq Ramadan. Now, Holliday, in a very disingenuous remark, suggested that the Bush administration had actually barred Ramadan from the country just because he opposed the Iraq War. But that was not the case. Obviously, with so many people opposing the Iraq War stateside, it's just sheer leftist fantasy to think that anybody would be barred from the country or have any kind of difficulty for opposing that war. What it was really about was, encapsulated in those words, exemption authority. Clinton was exempting Tariq Ramadan from prohibitions on supporters of terror groups entering the country. And that's why Tariq Ramadan was originally barred from the United States. That's why he should still be barred from the United States. And this is a nakedly political move on the part of the Obama administration, because Tariq Ramadan is a vocal critic of George W. Bush and of the war on terror, so is Barack Obama. They want people like Tariq Ramadan in the country and speaking and having influence because he's just the kind of guy they like. He is putatively a moderate Muslim. He's somebody who supposedly opposes all the elements of Islam that are at variance with the United States Constitution, with the freedom of speech, the freedom of conscience, the equality of rights of all people before the law. And so he is somebody, just the kind of guy they want to boost. And also they get the added bonus of he is somebody who seems to validate Democratic Party talking points regarding the Iraq war and the terror war in general. And so this is just politics, and it is a dangerous kind of politics, because now we're essentially saying that it's okay to give money to Hamas and nothing much is going to happen to you. And so Hamas is still on the terror list of the same State Department that is allowing a supporter of Hamas to come into the country. It doesn't send a very good message or a very clear message at all.
Well, what is the possible benefit for letting him back in?
Well, I tell you, I don't see any, Michael, I don't see any benefit at all, except that he is somebody who seems to validate the Obama administration's policies regarding Iraq, regarding Guantanamo, and regarding moderate Muslims and the terror war in general. It's about playing politics. It's about discrediting George W. Bush and showing that, trying to suggest, as Darby Holliday did, that many of the policies of the Bush administration were politically motivated rather than motivated by a genuine concern for national security. Now, the ironic part about that is that Tariq Ramadan is the grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan Al-Banna. And the Muslim Brotherhood is an international Islamic organization, the direct forefather of Hamas and Al-Qaeda. And it is an international organization that is dedicated, in its own words, according to a captured document, to eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house. Now, Tariq Ramadan has publicly distanced himself in some sly ways from his grandfather, but there is a French researcher, Caroline Furet, who wrote a book-length study of Tariq Ramadan, a book called Brother Tariq, which is available from Encounter Books, and I highly recommend it. It is a serious expose of how Tariq Ramadan twists words and skirts around the truth and uses language in a manipulative way and is actually advancing the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood and is actually following out the stealth jihadist strategy that was one of the things that his grandfather, Hassan al-Banna, mapped out, that Islamic law, Sharia, would advance step by step in the West, piece by piece, until finally the entirety of it was adopted in Western countries.
This is unbelievable to me.
This is hardly the moderate that he portrays himself to be, and it's sort of emblematic of the Obama administration's wrongheadedness on the Islamic world in general. They seem to assume, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton seem to assume, Obama especially, that the problem between the West and the Islamic world is essentially all our fault, that it's the result of American foreign policy, it's the result of various wrong American actions, and he's going to correct those. He never considered the possibility that they may hate us for reasons of their own that are independent of anything that we are doing or can do. And so that is the kind of, I think, in macrocosm, what we see now with the Tariq Ramadan case in microcosm. Tariq Ramadan is not what he seems, and he is going to be going around the country in his sly way, enabling and justifying jihadist groups. And in the same way, on a large scale, the Obama administration is making nice with regimes like the Islamic Republic of Iran and thinks they will respond in kind, when actually all they will do is take advantage of what they perceive as his weakness and continue to advance. And so it's just the same mistakes. He doesn't seem to realize that there is a jihad ideology, there is a belief system within Islam that justifies violence and warfare against unbelievers and the subjugation of unbelievers. He doesn't seem to believe that there are any Muslims acting upon that. And so on a large scale, he's making wrong appeals to the Islamic world, and on a small scale, he's making mistakes like letting people like Tariq Ramadan into the country.
Thanks for the report, Robert. Very disturbing information. Can anyone say they feel safer under this better diplomacy administration?
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Joining us now on the Savage Nation for his exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. Interesting health and, I guess, environmental update today, because we hear as of last week that Osama bin Laden has aligned himself with Al Gore, Barack Obama, and all those who are believing in global warming.
What? Why?
He's accusing the United States of contributing and would like to see, obviously, the destruction of our economy. It's already bad enough, but even more so with the alignment of some sort of a cap and trade, carbon tax. Who knew? I mean, interesting, as we battle terrorism and terrorists now, it means if we're against the terrorists, we're against the environment.
Crazy.
I think it's time we move past this idea that elites, globalist elites, must enslave us all with carbon taxes in order to save the planet. I mean, that should be passé by now. We should be well past that. But still, they're fighting for it. They're fighting tooth and nail for it. And they found out that some of the data that the global warming alarmists had been following, in fact, some of the basis for their claims, came from a graduate student with his thesis on the melting ice caps or such. And that, of course, doesn't really fly in peer-reviewed literature to rely on somebody's thesis. They also evidently relied on hikers in the Alps. You chip away at the ice and say, hey, you know, each time I come up here, it seems to be a little less ice. And let's use that information to establish a new carbon tax for the globe and enslave the planet for ice that may not even be melting in the ways that they claim. And this doesn't mean like you or I mean, of course we're for a clean environment. Who wouldn't be?
Exactly.
I'm all for cleaning up our third rock from the sun, but it's never going to be done by granting power to federal and or global bureaucracies that show more allegiance to multinational corporations than to individuals and property rights. Could you imagine if our government one day acknowledged property rights and helped us to defend them from those that would pollute. You know, there is no right of pollution. I mean, you can't pollute your neighbor's land. You can't dump stuff on it. Even polluting, technically, their water or air is something you it should be accountable, held accountable. You can do that. You don't need an EPA to do that. Somebody comes, pollutes my land, I'm going to take them on, right? Or if you're going to use the government in the form of the courts, right? That's a legitimate role of government at that point. But we don't have that. We've got, the federal government defending companies like Monsanto and their patented GMO products, like the Roundup Ready seeds, the GMO corn, all of this modified man playing God. And they're defending Monsanto because they had drift. Did you hear about this story? They actually had drift of the through the pollen, normal things that happen on the earth. Wind blows pollen, and there was drift of their genetic seeds onto a family farm. And this family farm said, hey, we don't want your seeds here. We don't want your genetic. We're just a family farm. We're growing some good natural organic stuff here. And so they went for some remedy or relief and said, hey, you guys are polluting our integrity, the integrity of the crops we're growing here. And you think that'd be a slam dunk case, of course. In any sane world, it would. But the federal government, rather than defending the family farmer who had been violated by the polluted gene pool spill from Monsanto, has basically helped Monsanto to attack, sue, and shut down the family farm who didn't want anything to do with Monsanto's genetically and patented FDA-approved product. And so this is more case in point, rather than environmental regulations, cap and trade, and Al Gore worship, environmentalists should demand that government defend the rights of property owners who go after those who pollute their property.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why. You know, look, you're all for the earth and cleaning it up. Why wouldn't they do that? Doesn't that make sense? Just help the little guy defend his property rights. But they don't.
Why not?
Because much of what I call the earth muffin movement has been co-opted by collectivists and corporatists that live, eat, sleep, and breathe big government. You know, it's like you build it and they will come. No, fund them and they will obey. So you've got these environmental groups that we now taking money from pharmaceutical interests, from chemical interests, and instead of going after the real polluters, they're actually arguing for, listen to this example, Michael, you'll like this. They're actually arguing that the real danger to the...
What? You're making this up.
Oh my gosh, silver in water at parts per million is the danger to the environment. They actually, there was some environmental groups that petitioned the Environmental Protection Agency. We've got to ban it. It's a dangerous pesticide. Never mind the synthetic pesticides from big pharma or the big global corporations that, again, they just spilling out the stuff without any adequate safety testing and saying, yeah, we have the ability to deal with synthetic chemicals. Suddenly foisted upon the environment. However old you think the earth is, that never been here. And just thinking that, well, animals and humans, we just have the enzymes to transform them, no problem. No synthetic carcinogens exist, according to them. It's crazy. And so we look at, let's say, making some correction or course corrections here. We got to recognize there's conflicts of interest all over this planet. Al Gore included, of course, with the profiteering he would make on enslaving everybody to carbon taxes. The very fact of being alive now will give them the ability to tax you.
Well, sounds like more neo-Marxist liberalism to me.
No longer is there sovereignty of the federal government, much less the state governments, that are not supposed to be subservient to the feds, nor the individual who was sovereign even in relation to that, because it was the people that created the states and the states that created the federal government. And that's why I see the increasing role of nullification, 10th Amendment movements in our country. Even the talk of secession that we've heard about, because enough is enough. You know, it's not bad enough that we got 10 miles square of corruption. But we're looking at global governments, governance descending on these United States of America, which is why I believe men of principle are much more important to have in government than those who would play you like a perpetual Hegelian dialectic pinball.
It's insane.
You know, we look at history. Do we learn from history? Look, Republicans had the government. Democrats had the government. Then anyway, they flip-flopping back. Show me where the government has actually gotten smaller under any of them. And then we realize that, again, we've been played for fools. Now, it takes great discipline and maturity to reject the money and power used to entice a compromise of what you know to be true. We've already seen it with the environmental groups. again, we're not anti-environmentalist or but, you know, legitimately cleaning it up, defending individual rights here. That would do it. But instead, we've got to have an overreaching global oligarchy, much less our federal oligarchy that exists today. But we can't wait for others to be that example. And I see this again. I mentioned the Tea Party movement. You've talked about it. We talk about it. I think people starting to say, I don't think I want to wait for a candidate. I maybe want to be the candidate. And I think that's very good. It poses some hope for the future here, that people are no longer waiting for good dough. Instead, they're going out and doing it, living the truth, and watch the lies crumble of global warming of their own accord. Of course, we could always wait for Al Gore and his new environmental rallying cry. You're either for bin Laden or you're against him. Of course, if you're against bin Laden, now you're against their belief and religion in global warming. And it's kind of strange to think that, a former vice president of the United States is saying we have to align ourselves with terrorists in order to save the planet. You know, is Al going into hiding with bin Laden so we can't find him? Maybe we'd all be better off in that regard.
Ha ha.
And I want to follow up, too, Michael, and there's another story regarding, we've been following the SSRI drugs, the antidepressants, which you have covered for years on the Savage Nation here, and there's a new study now coming out on antidepressants tied to lactation problems.
Hmm.
Now, last week, we discussed the issue of preterm births. In other words, those women that were put on SSRI or antidepressant medications were more likely, significantly more likely, to have children much sooner than they were supposed to basically come on out to the world and play, right? And, of course, all the problems that that results in. But now they're showing it's tying into lactation. And I'm going to read this quote here. The drug can affect mood, emotion, and sleep. And they may also impact serotonin regulation in the breast, placing new mothers at greater risk of a delay in the establishment of a full milk supply. So we got, all right, psychiatric drugs approved by the FDA. They must be safe because the FDA says so. Of course, we should know better now. We got preterm births happening, low birth weights, neurological, emotional issues, and now the milk has run dry. What can antidepressants do to convince the FDA that they are perhaps the most dangerous class of drugs ever synthesized by man? You know, based on what we see here, this track record, I'd have to say modern psychiatry is corrupting creation with each new molecule combination synthesized and approved by the federal government. And if it's any wonder why I say culture of life, my aspirin. There's no culture of life in Washington, D.C. anymore. They would rather drug us all and create horrible menaces to society if we look at what happened with the SSRI drugs in kids and the Ritalins and the homicidal tendencies that have occurred.
Crazy.
So yeah, I think I'm definitely in agreement. We need to clean up our act. We need to get back to the concept that the right of caring for our health is a fundamental right. It's not given to us by the government, but certainly it's been taken away because we have said or done nothing and have looked to so-called experts in government with conflicts of interest to tell us what to do.
So where do we go from here?
The real way we can see the change in America happening is to stop waiting for the change to happen and start being that change. And of course, it's not trite to say that. It just means that we no longer wait. We actually step up and help others on an individual basis. You know, talk to your neighbor, talk to your friend, talk to a family member, call somebody across country. You got some. Don't look to the feds to bail you out. Because all they're doing is basically enslaving us to a system that can never sustain itself. And passing on that debt to our kids and grandkids, and the intoxication of the planet in a negative context, which cannot be saved with any level of federal or global bureaucracy.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert.
Thanks again, Michael. Always an honor to be with you on the Savage Nation to clean up the thinking here. Those that want to get back to basically the liberty that we know our country was founded upon. You can check out more at my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. Until next time, Michael, thanks again.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
It looks like the president is out preaching to the converted. Again, here he is saying what a tough job Harry Reid has.
First of all, I just want to thank Harry Reid.
I recently said he's got one of the toughest jobs in Washington, managing an institution that by its very nature is, let's face it, you guys are a little difficult to manage. I really don't think anybody could have done a better job under more trying circumstances than Harry Reid, and I think he deserves a huge round of applause.
And all of the sheeple bleep their applause. It's also pretty clear that Obama has learned nothing from his defeats in Massachusetts, Virginia, and New Jersey.
All that's changed in the last 2 weeks is that our party's gone from having the largest Senate majority in a generation to the second largest Senate majority in a generation. And we've got to remember that. There was apparently a headline after the Massachusetts election. Republicans win a 41-59 majority. It's worth thinking about.
And here he is talking with the turncoat, Arlen Specter.
Would you support more effective remedies to allow injured parties, unions which lose jobs, companies which lose profits, by endorsing a judicial remedy, if not in U.S. courts, perhaps in an international court? When China got into the World Trade Organization, a matter that 15 of us in this body opposed, there were bilateral treaties, and China has not lived up to its obligations to have its markets open to us, but take our markets and take our jobs. Would you support an effort to revise, perhaps even revoke those that bilateral treaty, which gives China such an unfair trade advantage? Thank you.
Arlen, I would not be in favor of revoking the trade relationships that we've established with China.
And at another endless town hall meeting, Obawa used a child's question to vault into his own propaganda show.
My name is Ashley Stebbins, and I live here in Nashua and attend Nashua High South. During your campaign, there was a lot of promises of transparency. I was just wondering how you would grade yourself on your transparent government.
Well, you know, I've got to be careful about grading myself. I will tell you that a recent independent watchdog group said this has been the most transparent administration that we have seen in a very, very long time, perhaps in the modern era.
I've been playing some amazing segments today from a lecture by Herb Romerstein in November of 2001. He was with the House on Un-American Activities Committee. I want you to hear what he has to say about UAC.
Because we had an Un-American Activities Committee, we could have hearings on these things and tell the American public what was going on. But every time you look at these things, you see, Yogi Berra once said, deja vu all over again. These things may be a big shock to us when they happen, but they had a precedent. Many things happened before that created the problem that we're now seeing. And had we been paying attention to the problem all along, we would not have had to face the horror, of course, of this terrible tragedy at the World Trade Center and at the Pentagon, but we also might have been able to put a stop to some other things before they took place.
And we might prevent future attacks. You know, those he was fighting in the 50s and 60s are still around today.
We put together a thick report on the Workers' World Party, in which we showed, first of all, their connections with the Castro dictatorship in Cuba, their connections with the North Korean dictatorship, at that time of Kim Il-sung, of how they supported the Soviet Union, although they had a Trotskyite origin. They were strong supporters of the Soviet Union on every issue that came up. Why am I telling this story from 26 years ago? Because after the atrocity at the World Trade Center, a demonstration took place in Washington, D.C., of a couple of thousand people demanding that President Bush not retaliate, that he not do anything against the terrorists. And when we took a look at who was running this group, it was the same Workers' World Party, the same individuals that we identified back in 1974 showed up. One of them was on Fox Television. We have her picture in our report. And she was on Fox Television and didn't say she was with the Workers' World Party. She's a peace activist. She only wants peace. But this is the same cast of characters, still involved, still supporting the enemies of the United States. So maybe it's time for us to begin looking at them again.
UAC was around back in a time when there were loyal Americans in the media. Here's how the stars of another era thought.
His fear of communist subversive activities, appointed by Congress to investigate, Chairman Parnell Thomas opens the hearing.
He's investigating alleged communist influence and infiltration in the moving picture industry must not be considered or interpreted as an attack on the industry itself.
The court is packed with fashionably dressed women as witness Robert Taylor takes the stand. In answer to a committee question on whether the Communist Party should be outlawed in America, Mr. Taylor replies,
I personally certainly do believe that the Communist Party should be outlawed. However, I'm not an expert on politics or of what the reaction would be. If I had my way about it, they'd all be sent back to Russia or some other unpleasant place.
I went out on the boat today. Can I tell you, I never go out during the week. I'm a weekend boater. So there was a glimmer of sunshine where I live. The boat's down at the water a few miles away. I go down in the boat. It's absolutely London fog, pea soup. There wasn't 100 yards of visibility. It was so thick that I almost decided to can the trip. But there was too much already involved with this and that and starting her up. And I go out in the fog. It was almost, as I say, no visibility. I'm talking not even 100 yards. But we get out of the harbor, and I decide, okay, I'm not going to turn towards San Francisco. I'll go toward the North Bay where the fog had burned off. I go about a mile, and I got to tell you, you want to talk about the hand of God? When you see the fog lifting off San Francisco Bay, and you see the sun come out, and you see the hills open up, and you see, well, you see what I'm saying. That, to me, is, that's how I get in touch with nature and God. You know, God is nature, is DNA. It's been said 100 different ways. I mean, how do you do it? How do you touch God? Some do it through a house of worship. God bless you. Some do it through ritual. God bless you. Some do it through nature. The object in all religion, as far as I'm concerned, is to do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's a very simple rule, and yet it's very hard to follow. Or do not do unto others as you would not have them do unto you. I mean, whichever way you want to put it, negative, positive. All religions boil down to the same thing.
Savage.
For all things news and talk radio, visit TRNCentral.com.